Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we're going to be talking about kids. But it's also, I think, important to know that those of you as adults that are listening to this show, you really make a difference, because when you share knowledge with children, youngsters of all ages actually, you're going to be able to empower their lives, because they are going to have to be the leaders of their generation and pass it along. And hopefully we give them something of value. And my guest, Deborah Slover, is a woman who is really dedicated to working with youth and adult leaders. But she has a special spot in her heart for the young people. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be discussing her two books. The first one is Unique, Growing the Leader Within, and then Unique Kids, Growing My Leadership Garden. And both of these books have won awards. One is Independent Publishers that gave her an award, and also Mom's Choice Awards, honoring excellence. I want to welcome to the show Deborah Slover. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a real joy.
Now, Deborah, your life is dedicated to empowering others through education, but you decided you were going to do something more than just reading, writing, and arithmetic. You wanted to really work with young people to help them understand what it takes to become a good leader. Now, we all like to think that we can be a good example, but you've taken it further because you're using the power of story. What does the title Unique, and of course it's U period, N period, I period, Q period, U period, E period, what does that represent? Why did you choose that word, and what are the complements to that word?
Well, I chose the word because I was leading an adult leadership program, and I kept talking about our job is to, as coaches and leaders for that program, is to unearth the unique leadership expression of our participants. So one day, I love acronyms, so one day I was playing around with, well, what does unique, what could it stand for? So I came up with understanding, nurturing, inventive, quality, unstoppable expression of leadership.
Each of those terms are extremely important, because a leader has to be someone that walks the walk, not just talk the talk, but someone that is demonstrating those very qualities. And you had been very, very concerned about young people, and you feel that a lot of this has been lost along the way. Am I correct?
Correct. I think a lot of the basic, just the human nature and how it connects to mother nature, I think, you know, there's just a lot we can learn from that. So I thought, why not go back to the basics? And that's where I came up with the garden metaphor.
Now, you have had in your own life experience some pretty tough times. Your mom committed suicide when you were just 23 years of age, so you had to go through a big adjustment there. But you really find that the involvement with people is very satisfying. And what do you find is the biggest difference between working with adults regarding the qualities of leadership and working with young people?
Well, I think young people are actually more open to demonstrating and stepping into the role of their leadership. At least that's my experience from working with young people for 20 years. It didn't take a lot to empower them. But the adults, because we, you know, we're adults now, and we have a lot more, as I call it, the metaphor, weeds growing in our garden. It's a little harder sometimes to break through those barriers that we've established through our life experiences. So for me, I work mostly with young people, but when I started working with adults in a very specific program, I started to see, you know, they're not much unlike the students that I worked with, except there's just a lot more barriers.
A lot of things that people have adopted.
Correct. Well, because our thoughts and our feelings and our behaviors formulate throughout our childhood into our adulthood, and we integrate those things into our, somebody's calling in on a fax. we integrate those into our lifestyle, and then they become our reality and our truth.
Very, very much the case. Now, with the first book that you had here, Unique, you said, and it's right at the very beginning, by the way, I have to compliment you on the artistry in this book. I think whoever did your artwork for you did an incredibly fine job with the way they depicted aspects of the story.
She is brilliant. She's very, very good. This was an opportunity for her to express her artistic leadership.
In the very beginning of your book, you say a weed takes little effort to survive in a garden, yet the choice to grow a thriving garden is the synergy of the heart, mind, and spirit with purpose and aim. And you start out with a character, Lita. Tell us about Lita, and who did you base Lita on?
Well, Lita was kind of a combination of my grandmother, whose name was actually Lena, and myself, and the adults I worked with when we were working in, when I was working in the youth program that I led for 20 years. And, what I saw our role as, I call it a facilitator. We're not really training people, we're facilitating people's process of growth and development and empowerment. And so, she was just really a combination of, I guess it symbolized myself and my grandmother and the knowledge that she passed on, because even though Grandma Lena was a little tiny woman, she yielded great power in a very gentle and supportive way.
With this story, Lita is a woman that's able to communicate with animals, which is something that kids are always going to enjoy. But even as I was reading through it, I found that there was just a lot of warmth and very much the caring aspect, the nurturing aspect that you feel that men and women should have in their roles of leadership, which I think is appropriate. But you've got some wonderful characters. Hugh is a sheep, and you have little lessons that go along with each one of these characters, these animal characters or person characters that you have. And each one of them has something very, very special to offer in the way of their own experiences. And it's not, you don't talk down to the kids, which I think is important. What is the age group that you would say this book relates to?
Well, we wrote it, we actually tested it with the first chapter with kindergarten students, and they were having a little bit of difficulty making the transition from the metaphor of a garden to themselves. Mm-hmm. And so we adapted it and rewrote it, for grades 3 through 5, so 8 to 12-year-olds. Mm-hmm. However, we just had a demonstration project that completed in Pontiac, Michigan, where the children went through the program, and they had 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, and all the way up to 12-year-olds. They broke them into two groups, K through 3 and 4 through 6. And all of the children benefited. It was interesting. The younger ones actually responded even better to it than the older ones.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me at all. With the involvement that I've had with children, I think we underestimate them, and they're like little sponges. They just are right there with you. And they love to learn, and they're very open to ideas and concepts. And the concept of a garden where you have to plant seeds is very appropriate, because that's what you're doing with your material, is planting seeds in their minds.
Correct.
So that they can understand that they have the opportunity to be able to fulfill whatever objective they may aim for, and that there might be some changes along the way, but it's okay.
Exactly.
It is okay. Now, with this particular book, the first one, Unique, Growing the Leader Within, you also have exercises throughout the book and encouraging the kids to know about choice. And I think that this is great. You also have a balance wheel on the inside of it. You have exercises that can be done with parents, and the kids can do it by themselves if they're of a mind to. And there are all of these lessons. It really would make for a wonderful discussion, especially during the summer, if kids are participating in library projects about how many they can read a week or anything like this. But if a family comes together and they're able to go through this book and do the exercises together and in an open way, there's no wrong answer, but it gives pause and thought to how can I think differently about things. It's really quite a wonderful tool to work with.
Well, it is, and I just completed, so with the adult book, we have the exercises, but we also have the Leadership Garden Guidebook, which is expanded on those exercises. And I am doing some training, and I just worked with a group of educators, and we walked through the 8 lessons in a 3-day workshop, and we talked about their role as educators. You know, they're not the parents of the children, but they are the empowerment tool while those children are in school, and they were actually special education teachers. And so it makes a wonderful workshop. It can be an 8-lesson activity. We have the audio book. We're just finishing the audio book for the children's book, so children can read along and listen at the same time. Particularly children who have difficulty reading, doing audio and reading at the same time really, really helps improve their reading skills.
Yes,
and with the children's book, we also have a full activity guide for them as well.
Now, you have your second book, which is Growing My Leadership Garden. And when you've worked with the kids, when they have been able to go through, let's say, your first book, and then they start on the second one, are there any particular questions that you find that the kids ask? Because leadership can be described in a number of different pictures to someone. But do the children have questions that they feel are important to be answered by you when you are sharing these things with them?
Well, actually, that was one of the things that we were doing with the pilot project or the demonstration project in Pontiac, Michigan. And the adults took them through it. So I've only gone through it with my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gone through it with a group of young people, and that's what I'm waiting for, the feedback form and impact report from the Pontiac, Michigan group. But what I do know with my grandchildren, they were able to really, they didn't really question of leadership. They may not have understood it. So in the way we describe it, or I describe it in the book, it's how you think, how you feel, and how you behave. That really is what demonstrates your leadership. And so that's pretty simple. They can understand that. And what was really unique about it and great about it is that when my granddaughter and my grandson and I was taking them swimming after we went through some of the lessons, and she was doing the typical thing about picking at her brother in the back seat, and on the way swimming, I said to her, I said, you're not being a very strong leader right now. And she looked and she crossed her arms, and I said, and if you don't behave, I can take you home and take Kane swimming by himself. She thought for a moment, and she looked up, and I was driving the car, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and she says, okay, Grandma, I'm going to kill my weeds. And I started laughing, and I said, what weeds are those? And then their brother jumped in, and she says, my cranky weeds. And a couple of, about a week later, so she chose to decide to behave. And what was so key about that is that she was able to self-restrain.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is one of the things that we need to teach young people is that they have choice in whether they're going to behave or misbehave. And it's up to them. We can't really force them to behave unless we, you know, aren't acting appropriately with them. But, you know, they're going to test the boundaries, and when you give them the opportunity to choose and choose the activities, you're teaching them very young that self-restraint and that self-determination.
I agree, and I think that's very important. Communication, cooperation, respect, responsibility, and trust.
Correct.
These are very significant words, and I think that in the adult world, what kids have been exposed to just recently over the past few years just has not been a good demonstration of that, and by adults. And
correct.
I look at that, and I think this is something where if we are going to represent that, then kids will honor it. But it's a pretty tough job if you don't, and you say, do as I tell you, but don't do as I do. How can someone, if a youngster comes up with that kind of a response, saying, wait a minute, I just saw Mickey Mouse Joe over here doing such and such, and nobody did anything to him, what's the big deal?
Well, it comes back to choice. He may not, you know, Mickey Mouse Joe over there may have been doing something that was inappropriate and got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, those are weeds that are going to grow in a garden. And if you want your garden to flourish, if you want your life to flourish, there are just fundamental practices that you need to learn and you need to utilize on an ongoing basis. The same applies to a garden. You can't just plant a garden and walk away and not tend it, not nurture it, not provide it fertilizer, not weed it, and expect it to grow. And even if it does grow, it's not going to flourish unless you use the same principles and practices. And so it's universal. That's the thing about the unique lessons, is that they're universal across the board, whether you're young or old, about just fundamental things. So I kind of call it growing our human garden through growing
mm-hmm.
our leadership, because
mm-hmm.
if we treat each other with respect, we take responsibility for our life, we cooperate when we're working in a group, we learn to trust. Trust ourselves is really one of the biggest keys. You know, we can have people who violate trust with us, but when we violate our own trust and our own ability to honor what we say, that does more damage to our own psyche than somebody else violating trust with us.
That's a great deal of wisdom there, and I think that's true. And that's something that's important for young people to understand. And again, I think it behooves us as adults to be able to do exactly that, represent that. Nobody's perfect, but it is something that when kids see that in common practice, when within the general environment that they're in, then they're going to pretty much adopt that as part of their own demonstration of self.
Correct. Well, one of the fundamental in the heart of the book, in the Nurturing Meadow, we talk about the 6 leader-friendly gardening practices, which are be non-judgmental, do not enable harmful behaviors, use empathy, prune gossip, eliminate blame, and eradicate victimization. And when you said when young people see things and they comment on it, I had, when I was sharing those at a meeting, which was a mixture of adults and youth, one of the young women in the audience asked me, well, do you use that all the time? And I kind of chuckled and I said, heavens no, I'm human. I said, what the goal of leadership is not to strive for perfection, because we're all human. We all make mistakes. We can learn and grow from our mistakes. But if we practice those six leader-friendly gardening practices and practice using the qualities of leadership, the respect, responsibility, communication, cooperation, and trust, then it's through practice it becomes natural to us. It becomes automatic to us, and it overrides those other things that are counter to that. The biggest thing that I really wanted people to walk away with the book, there's three main things. One is choice, to survive or thrive. Number two is responsibility, to be responsible for our lives. And number three is to learn the skills that we need to empower ourselves and empower those around us so we can make the difference we truly desire.
What was the biggest challenge that you had in putting this book together?
Overcoming my own barriers, my own doubts, my own worries, my own concerns. For me, it was actually a full demonstration. The book is a demonstration of living all the principles and practices I write about in the book. Every time I was either confronted with something or my integrity was out or I wasn't being responsible, I couldn't move forward with the book. So I'd have to work through whatever was going on with my life in order to complete that chapter. It's like it wouldn't let me even finish. I couldn't just, you know, put ice cream on top of a mud pie. I had to work it through.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a challenge. One, I never had a desire to be an author, nor did I ever dream or have a desire to write a book. But I was really compelled to express a new view of leadership in the world, one that I think would make a profound difference if we would look at those six leader-friendly gardening practices, which is why I established the Leadership Garden Fund to provide resources to groups to be able to create projects around those practices.
Now, tell us about the Leadership Fund that you have started up. When did you start it, and what's been accomplished, and where do you hope to go with it?
Well, the Leadership Garden Fund was really the full fulfillment. Remember, I said I didn't have a desire to write a book,
mm-hmm.
but I did have a desire to create a new view of leadership and make a difference. And so, when we lost our funding for the program, the youth program that I was running, I said if I could ever fund programs like the program I was running, I would. And what the essence of that program was we were empowering youth leadership to make a difference. It was in prevention programming, but it was challenging because we don't fund kids, or we don't fund organizations to practice leadership. We fund people to fix problems,
mm-hmm.
or to make something better, which is fine, but it's the practice of the leadership that's going to make the full difference. So I vowed to myself if I could ever fund programs like that, I would. And so after I completed the adult book and we were in the process of working on the children's book, I figured out a mechanism which my husband and I could start the Leadership Garden Fund, a donor-advised fund, where we could fund groups to actually do those projects. So how it's panned out is, the Pontiac, Michigan demonstration project that just finished on June 9th, they created an accountability project, and the children, the ages 5 through 12, decided that they wanted to take care of the environment around their community. So I funded them a mini grant, a $300 grant, and they bought gloves and they bought trash bags and they created a t-shirt design. They named their project The Journey of Growth, and they bought plants and then they made flyers and they went in the 3-block area of the Baldwin Center there in the heart of Pontiac, Michigan, and those children went and cleaned up the streets and went to the neighbors and planted flowers in the neighbor's garden because they saw that if they were, their environment that they live in and that they go to school and then they come to the after school program every day, it was not taken care of. so they felt that if they were responsible or accountable for their environment, it would make a difference for not only them, it would the community would feel cleaner, it would feel there would be more respect. And so those are the kinds of projects that I'm hoping that kids will come up with. What was unique about it was not that they cleaned the streets, you know, community service projects, that happens all the time. But they chose that particular aspect, and it was based upon the purpose and aim that they had developed for their group, and that was to empower the residents of the community to be responsible for the environment.
That's quite a statement about young people.
I was shocked because, you know, they had...
That's amazing.
They had inclusion, safe and healthy communities, compassion, kindness, accountability, and healing are the categories. And the kids, these children chose accountability of all six of them. I was just dumbfounded. That's
well,
what made
I'm
it exciting.
Thrilled. I'm thrilled because that shows that young people are aware, more so than what we're giving them credit for. And instead of dumbing down things, we say, how can we make it better? What do you think you should do? And enabling them to do it. That's what your grant did. But they had to earn that right. And that's what made it so worthwhile to them. And I would imagine their stories are just incredible about how they feel about what they've done. And they're probably anxious to get on to another project.
Correct.
I provided
them the material, so this is something that the group can use ongoingly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, once you have those lessons, that's what's so unique about, or I keep saying unique, but you know, it is.
That's the title of your book.
That's the title of the book. I think it really makes it special though, because the fact that some of these children, you know, maybe never plan it. And watch things grow. So every day they walk, they have a summer program, and they're going to get to see these plants that they've
mm-hmm.
planted flourish. Or mm-hmm. they're going to get to see them wither and die if somebody doesn't take care of them. So
it's
real life
experience.
When you connect the two,
mm-hmm.
it's
That's
powerful.
Very good. It is very powerful. Deborah, this has just been delightful having you on the air. Your book and your training program, both for adults and for kids, I think is terrific. You can go to her website, leadergardenpress.com, leadergardenpress.com. And if you're a parent or you have young people in your family and you're concerned, you go, my goodness, we hear about so much trouble with young people. We just don't know what to do about it. Why not start when they're young? Why not make it a family event? This is summertime. Kids are out of school. Make this a project, something that they can work with and that you can discuss and get involved in concepts and ideas that maybe they can participate in. Or maybe suggest it to a teacher. I just think that the material here that Deborah has put together is so valuable and it is timeless, which I think is very good about the utilization of gardening as an aspect. But go to leadergardenpress.com, and then also she has leadership training services. You can go to synergyinmotion.info to find out more. Deborah, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a delight having you.
Thank you very much for having me and letting me share.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. You want to plant the seeds of insight, confidence, and maturation in young people, and maybe even in yourself. The book, Unique, Growing the Leader Within, is a good read. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be right back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition?
Donna?
Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome back. Telephone number to call into if you would like to chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the telephone number to call into, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. Of course, I always like to know what part of the country or world you're calling in from. And then after that, just sit back, relax, and enjoy, and I'll give you information, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that is of interest to you. Now, I told you as soon as I got confirmation about shows that I'm going to be on that I would let you know where I'm going to be traveling with my handy-dandy microphone. On the 2nd of July, which is this coming Friday, it is going to be a busy broadcasting day, because in the AM, 9 AM Eastern Time, in fact, on July the 2nd, I'm going to be on WERC 105.5 AM in Birmingham, Alabama. And then I also will be doing a show just before I do my own show, and that's going to be in Lexington, Kentucky at WLAP 6:30 AM. And I'm going to be there talking at 5 p.m. their time. So if you are in that area, and that is this coming Friday, I'm going to be doing both of those shows. And then on Monday, July the 5th, I'll be doing a broadcast at 8 a.m. Eastern in the wonderful area of Orlando, Florida, WSLA, 5:40 a.m. I'll be doing a show with. So it's going to be a busy broadcasting week. And if you know of anybody in those areas, just give them a call, send them an email, and say Donna's going to be on in your area, and they'll be able to hear the live broadcast and also be able to call in to the station to participate. So again, if you want to give me a buzz, do so at 888-815-9756. Now, I want to let you know who is coming on this week, and I have not yet put my list of guests up for the month of July. I'm waiting for a couple of phone calls to come in relative to a couple of dates that I have. Haven't heard from the people yet, so I'm hoping to get that by tomorrow. But we will have it all up on BBS, so you will know about the upcoming guests. Tomorrow we're going to be talking Italian. Yes, But I'm talking food. I just absolutely love Italian food. And Brianna Gogan has put together a wonderful series of recipes that are going to be, well, happy for the waistline, taste good, and give you that sense of satisfaction with a lot of fresh vegetables and other things cooked Italian style that I think you will enjoy quite a bit, and that's going to be tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. And then on Thursday, the science of making things happen. How do you feel about being able to control more of your own life and your own destiny? Well, Kim Romaner is going to be my guest, and that's exactly what we're going to be discussing. Friday may end up being an open mic day. That is still a question mark. I'm waiting to hear back from an author. So as soon as I do, then I will let you know. But we've got a great lineup of guests this week, and as I said, we'll be putting up the posting for the programming for July fairly soon. And then, of course, the newsletter is going to be coming out as well. By the way, if you would like to receive a copy of my free monthly newsletter, just send me an email. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Say, Donna, put me on your list, and be sure to put your name along with your email, because that makes it more available to me. If for some reason you should want to unsubscribe, then I'm able often to find with people's names that email address, if that were the case. Also, if you are going to take the time to send me an email, why don't you put in your own personal story of the paranormal? I would love to hear from you. I'm putting together a collection of 100 stories, and I'd like to have yours. And all you need to do is send it to me. It can be about a dream, about a ghost experience, something that has had a major impact in your life and in your thinking. So if you will, just send it along again to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Also, I wanted to let you know that we are going to be, for those of you in the state of Washington listening to the program, we are going to be giving away next month some free passes to a wonderful, wonderful event that's going to be happening here in the state of Washington. And more information will be forthcoming starting on Friday. Well, if you're like so many of us and you have got a yard and you're out there and you're doing your thing and you're trimming your bushes and trimming those flowers and making sure that everything just looks absolutely gorgeous, because this is the time of the year when stuff is blooming. This is the time of the year you tend to your vegetable gardens. But there's some things that we really do want to be aware of. And this is coming about not because it's anything really new, but because we are becoming attentive, more consciously attentive to the reality that what we put on the ground, what we use to make things grow better, can have a positive or a negative effect on our water supply. And this is something that is slow in coming. A lot of people have talked about it for a long, long, long time. But here are some tips that I think that you might want to be aware of. Now, grounds, they always need to look nice. If you walk around your neighborhood, the first thing you're going to notice is how attractive a yard is. Do people take care of things? Are they keeping things trimmed back? What are they doing to make sure that the environment around their home is attractive? Well, I was surprised to learn that there are some areas in the country where people are actually getting tickets if they are not taking care of their property. And this, to me, was just amazing. But it happened in Orem, Utah, and a lady was talked to by a local police officer that said he really needed to tidy up her yard. And he wanted her name, he wanted information, and she flatly refused to give it to him. And by golly, he ended up putting handcuffs on her. I guess she got a little sassy. Put handcuffs on her, and she had to go to jail. Because she really was not in the mood to even consider a discussion of this type. And it's really amazing. You just never know. So it's something, though, that when we are dealing with property, we need to be aware of some facts. The average American family uses about 30% of its water out of doors. Now, can you imagine? It might even be more than that, depending on what part of the country you're in. But the number spikes to 70% right here on the West Coast. Not so much, I'd say, in the Pacific Northwest as perhaps into California, because we get so much precipitation. Clark County, Nevada, last year banned planting turf in the front yards of new homes. And the EPA is now offering incentives to builders to design landscapes that use a regionally appropriate amount of water. Grass is the largest irrigated crop in the country. And this is a stat that was given by Christina Malisi. She's a NASA-funded researcher. Also, we have a tendency to use too much fertilizer. We Americans apparently buy around 4 to 5 million tons of chemical fertilizer a year, and mostly it's concentrated water-soluble products that may actually give your environment more nutrients than it can use. Phosphorus and nitrogen can run off during rainstorms, and this contaminates drinking water, and it also leaches into our rivers and streams. And the algae love it. That's right. It turbocharges algae, and then when the algae dies, it also smothers fish. And I'll tell you something interesting that happened with me. I had had a big container of water, and I had put a cutting into it. And this cutting developed a wonderful root system. And then one day, and this was in a plastic container, one day I noticed the container was looking sort of green. I thought, that's odd. So I took the water out, put fresh water in. Well, time went by, and my plant cutting died. And I realized why. An algae had been growing inside. It had taken out all the oxygen and nutrients from the water. The plant had nothing in the way of nutrition so it could stay alive. The plant cutting starved to death. Fascinating observation. So we really, really need to pay attention to what we do. Now, it takes a lot of fossil fuel as well to manufacture a lot of synthetic fertilizers. So check around and find out about those fertilizers that are not going to be as polluting. There's new manufacturers that are coming out that are giving us some wonderful, wonderful products. And you can do your own composting, too, if you have the space to do it in. You can do that. Now, pesticides really are having an effect on kids' health, and mothers everywhere are becoming more and more concerned, and they want to get into organic lawn care. Paul Tuckey, who's the founder of SafeLawns.org in Canada, said there's more than 100 cities, including Toronto, that are restricting the use of pesticides. Now, in the U.S., there's nothing preventing us from doing the same thing, but there are a lot of places that have passed laws that make it illegal to ban pesticide. But it's something, again, it is a conscious attention, a consciousness of awareness that should create a what could we do differently. Well, when we come back, I have a few suggestions for you, some substitutes that you might find very useful. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. 888-815-9756 if you'd like to call in and chat. We'll be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. You know, for weeds, have you ever tried vinegar? Now, you have to be careful with this. I tried it. There is a love of gardening here in the Pacific Northwest, big time. And I was listening to a gardening specialist, and I'd heard this from more than one person. They said, if you want to get rid of dandelions in your garden and weeds, then what you do, you use white vinegar. And it has to be a pretty good concentration. Well, I tried it. But you have to be careful because you want to make sure that you hit the bullseye with the weeds because it'll kill the grass. And you certainly don't want it to get on flowers or anything that you want to stay alive because it is so acidic. It is really amazing. But it does kill dandelions. It will. You just get it right on there and it will work. So it's a very inexpensive item to use. Now, for lawn problems with weeds, you could also use the chemical fix, which is the glyphosate. But you can also use corn gluten meal. Now, I haven't tried this one, so I don't know about that. A corn gluten meal will get rid of weeds. And then when it comes to dealing with pests, well, what you want to do is use a concoction from the seeds of the neem tree. I've never heard of this. And I thought, I got to check this out, see if it would work. But otherwise, you're going to use something that has an item in it like caberol, and that is considered to be carcinogenic by the EPA. Grubs, triclorfan is something that is a chemical that can be used, but if you expose yourself to it, it can affect your nervous system. So what you need to do is get some beneficial nematodes. They're tiny worms that go after grubs. And I learned a long time ago about some wonderful little critters called ladybugs. If you have roses and you have lots of aphids, just buy yourself some boxes of ladybugs and put the boxes out right around your rose bushes, and they'll go after those aphids. They just love them. They have a banquet. So it's really something that you do have to take the time to really do some investigation about. Because we have so many chemicals, and they do affect us. They really, really do. I mean, when Bill Moyer did a program on healing in the mind and found out when he had blood tests done that he had, I don't know how many thousands of chemicals in his body that probably weren't there when he was a kid growing up, it is an amazing discovery, and it does affect us. When you boil it down, everything is chemistry, but sometimes there are those chemistries, let's face it. You ever come in contact with poison oak? Talk about chemistry. Woo! You don't want that. You itch too much. But seriously, what it is, there is that chemical reaction. And so we want to be able to work with our environment in the best way that we possibly can. So we create the balance that we need. If we do that, well, then we're going to be way, way ahead. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. Now, watchdogs for wildlife. We've all watched different programs on television, people that really have a passion for being able to be in the right place at the right time to find out the information we need to know to protect and to make us aware of what's going on out in nature. We're all very busy people, and it's not something that we feel particularly affects us if it's out in Oahu, Hawaii. Well, guess what? Beachgoers, they find, to the monk seals that live there, are not such a good thing. So the locals and visitors try to touch and photograph all of these creatures that they can, but there are kids that will throw rocks at these animals, and these are seals that are endangered. There's fewer than 1,100 of them left, and it's against the law to harass them. And, of course, there aren't enough federal agents to go around to manage protecting them. So a group of people from the area said, it's our job. Let's make sure we take care of it. So they put together a group, the Hawaiian Monk Seal Response Team, Oahu. It was put together 2 years ago after a seal, when it swam ashore to shed its annual coat, and it makes them very, very vulnerable, of course, when they're going through this shedding for as long as a month. Well, there was a woman by the name of Donna Festa. She was a local real estate agent. She happened to spot the seal, and the animal was totally surrounded by people that were at the beach. And she said, and as well as dogs. And she said, nope. But she said, I had to find somebody to assist me because there were too many people there, too many other animals, and I knew I couldn't do it on my own. So she started talking to their neighbors, and eventually 15 of them got together, taking shifts, making sure the seal was protected 24 hours a day, basically. And do you know now they have over 100 volunteers? And whenever one of the monk seal moms comes to shore to give the birth, the members of this group are right there to make sure she's not harassed in any way, shape, or form. And if they notice that an animal needs medical attention, they'll make the phone call for help. And do you know what? Because of this tremendous interest and so many concerned citizens, in 2008, the seal became Hawaii's official state mammal. People of all ages are participating. One lady who's 61 years of age, she's at the beach, 7 a.m. sharp every morning. She said, they touch your heart, but we want to make sure that other people don't touch them and leave them alone so that they have a chance to survive. One person makes a difference. That's all it takes. Then, one plus one makes two, and you keep compounding like that, and things can be taken care of. It's sort of like a bank account. $1 plus $1. Keep compounding that, and you may have that $1 million in your bank account. Surprise, surprise. But it really is important for us to be proactive and also to be educated. It really makes a difference. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. Don't forget that tomorrow we're talking Italian. That's right. We are going to be having some lip-smacking recipes here. Speaking of lip-smacking recipes, I don't know about you, but I love ribs. And I especially like pork ribs. And I've got this recipe for ginger, garlic, and honey-grilled baby back ribs. Now, I'm not going to be able to have enough time to share it with you today, but keep in mind that I'll be sharing it either tomorrow or some other time this week. I know we're just about out of time here, and I want to encourage you, especially with the 4th of July coming up, it's such a historical day. There is a wonderful, wonderful website that you can go to find out about what brought around the 4th of July, and you can look through just an awesome array of photography, history about the United States. You can go to life.com and type in, that's right, just life.com and type in United States into the search box, and you can go through historical documents, artifacts, websites, webcasts at the World Digital Library, WDL.org, and the Library of Congress. Now, their website is loc.gov/topics, loc.gov/topics. It's amazing what we're able to do with the Internet today. Also, if you like the patriotic music and if perhaps you would like to be able to play it in the background while you're working on this weekend, if that's going to be what you're doing, all you have to do is go and visit a site, amclassical.com/patriotic, and you'll hear all of the John Sousa tunes and many, many more, including America the Beautiful and Star Spangled Banner, but it's there. It's really super that we have access to all of this wonderful information, and it keeps becoming better and better and better, and more is becoming more accessible to us. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Thank you for being with me today. And tomorrow, well, we're going to be, again, talking Italian. Food, that is. Hope you can join us and bring an appetite as well as a pad of paper and a pen. I think you're going to want to use it. This is Donna. Have a fabulous day, fabulous evening wherever you are. Be right back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.